Midwestern girl, her heart is paper mache, with a tornado ripping through, cause she is ready for change. California was fine and she could soak up the sun, but she's returning to her roots where she will always belong.
This is Pirate RC and I'm out actually in back of Irving Plaza in their backyard in New York City, and I'm here chatting with Carbon Leaf. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. So you guys want to introduce yourself so everyone knows whose voice belongs to who?
Sure.
I'm Carter.
Terry.
Jason.
We're all from Carbon Leaf. Yay.
And cheekbone sculpted on the winds of IOWA. Tell she's not around. Tell her as you're leaving town. Tell her when she's not around. Tell her everything now.
You guys are, of course, doing your show later on this evening. Are you excited to be in New York City? I mean,
always. Especially the playing through Plaza. It's such a good sound of room.
Yeah, it's a great room to play. And today was actually fairly painless driving into New York City. Usually New York City is a little bit like getting through the Lincoln Tunnel.
I mean,
getting up the, yeah. It's a little, we have a big van and trailer, so parking's a hassle, driving's a hassle. We got here, loaded in, parking opened up right in front of the club, so
that's lucky.
So far, yeah. It's been a pretty amazing day as far as our New York adventure goes.
Yeah,
usually we get a ticket for the van and a ticket for the trailer, and then multiple throughout the night. So
right, yeah, they just come back and put more on.
You just keep putting them on. Yeah,
that's what's funny. I think a lot of the revenue. So
they find somebody like that and just kind of sit there with their watch and wait for it to expire and write to another one.
You guys just won a contest from Reverb,
yeah,
for a green tour. So how did you guys decide to even, you know, enter and?
Well, I think you had to be nominated by fans and stuff first, so people, you know, we tour a lot and we have a great fan base that, you know, is pretty active, so they started submitting our name, and next thing you know, they're like, hey, you guys have been nominated, you're one of the top five, you know, so we'd like you to continue on with this contest, and we were really excited because they're such a great organization, and we'd like to figure out ways to green up our touring as much as possible. And it's tough when you're a band our size, when it's not like, oh, okay, we'll just cut back from 5 buses to 2 buses and run it on canola oil. You know, when you're in a van and trailer and you're kind of lean and mean, still trying to figure out what you can do to make it as eco-friendly as possible is good. So we're real excited and happy to win.
Yeah, so what's next as far as that goes? I mean,
oh, Jason can tell you the details.
I'm not really sure what's next. Cut back on water bottles, and there's a master plan being made right now that I'm kind of out of the loop.
Yeah, our singer Barry, who is he's out meeting with our booking agents and stuff. We have a bunch of our people are based in New York, so when we get in town, he's like, all right, got to go out and actually, because he's kind of our, you know, point man for a lot of stuff, and he was definitely the point man on the Reverb thing, so he's the guy that's been really talking to those guys and coming up with a plan. We're sure that good things are happening.
Yeah.
We just don't know what they are.
Have you guys, just as individuals, been involved in, like, green activities? I mean, just at home or... Like, I know I recycle.
Well,
you know,
sure. We all recycle.
Yeah.
Everything like that. I was like,
compost.
What do you mean?
Oh, yeah, no.
I've not turned off my power and put in solar panels just yet.
Yeah.
But, of course, everybody recycles and do what you can at home. It's a lot easier at home than it is when you're trying to be mobile and you're pretty much taking your life with you on the road. That's when you start to deal with little hiccups that are, you know, some of them are difficult to overcome, like good drinking water.
Yeah.
Now, how many clubs have you walked in and said, you know what, I feel really good about this tap water here. I'm going to take a couple gallons and see what happens.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's. I think Reverb's currently looking over kind of our template, how we do things, what we do, and they're trying to figure out exactly what they can do to help us at our level. And, you know, it's got to be kind of a pretty good plan from their side as well as ours before we can figure out exactly, you know, the best steps to make and then to put together, you know, their 100th green tour.
Yeah, so. Which, I mean, that's cool in itself, and, you know, Reverb was founded by...
Barry had been in contact with him previously because we wanted to work with him and to just to see what we could do on our own, let alone, you know, that was before this happened. So now, you know, it's been a real great opportunity to get to know those guys and, you know, really start a good dialogue and kind of get the ball rolling.
Yeah, well, and then your fans, it just shows that they're socially aware for one thing, but also really interested in what you guys are doing, which
And they're also willing to help.
Yeah.
Which is,
yeah.
I mean,
we're very lucky.
You know,
and one of the things that Barry, you know, set up was a page on our website where people could suggest, you know, ways to go green or, you know, give us ideas or make comments on things. So it's really interactive with our fans, the whole process, trying to, you know, think outside the box.
Yeah. Well, and that's one thing I noticed just on your website, that you guys are involved in social media and in message board and talking to your fans and everything. And so, but you guys have been a band for, you know, a while longer than this stuff has been around. I mean, you know,
absolutely.
So.
We're just happy not to be hanging flyers on telephone poles anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you're already more green in a way.
Stamps. We don't have to lick stamps anymore. That's green. Yeah.
So when did you guys decide that that was a good route to go? I mean, to, because some people don't actually communicate with their fans or they don't do it directly anyway. But, I mean, there's certain scalability issues, right? Like, you know, certain people, I mean, if there's 8 million people following them, the chances are they're not going to be able to contact the 8 million people. But you guys are really involved, which is awesome. I'm sure your fans appreciate it. But
We had a really slow growth, you know, and a lot of people got to know us then. We always still come out and talk to people after shows, sign stuff. And it's just the way we started doing stuff, and it's not something we've ever stopped, so...
Yeah, it's, you know, so we've been, like Carter said, coming out after shows, talking to people for the last 10 years. So you get to recognize people. I try to remember their names. Definitely bad on names, but you see a lot of people. You see the same people, and you just get freaked out because you have people traveling. And it's like, aren't you from Cleveland? You know, what are you doing in Florida?
That kind of spread through, you know, as Twitter popped up, Facebook, and all that. We've always tried to keep up with that, and we always try to answer emails. You know, people can email us directly through the website and through Facebook and everything. So we've always tried to answer, you know, all the credible questions at least. And, you know, but, you know, if somebody has something they want to say or suggestions or songs that they want to hear, we always want to know kind of what everybody's thinking.
We really did start at the beginning with mp3.com and stuff like that when all those sites just launched. And you know, we were on a 14.4 dial-up modem uploading songs, and it would take an hour to 2 hours to upload one song. And I would be there all night, literally after work on our little thing, you know, the modem chirping, uploading songs, trying to answer email. You know, we held on to our original cleaf@arrows.com forever. And it's like, Arrows has been out of business for 8 years, but we're still somehow getting email through that account. And, you know, it's... trying to keep it going and sort of be involved, you know, from that level and just kept, as things progressed with it.
Which is important. I mean,
we'll even get on, like, there's like a fan club called the, well, not a fan club, I guess it's the Phil Baker Coalition. It's kind of a group of fans that just are, you know, active, it's kind of street team.
Yeah.
And a couple of members will actually get in there in chat rooms and chat with, you know, one night a week or, you know, one night a month.
Yeah.
Just kind of go in there and kind of see what everyone's talking about, talk to them, and, you know, get song requests or you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and just see what people are saying and what they're interested in, right?
Yeah.
So, if you think about releasing, like, an early album or your first couple albums and releasing now, I mean, how has it changed for you? Because I'm sure a lot more is just digital, and so you're getting feedback you maybe didn't get, right? I mean...
You know, it's a good question, just because it's just different.
Yeah.
You know, we still go through a lot of the same steps. You know, now it's downloads as opposed to CDs. You know, that seems to be where everything is leaning. So then it kind of helps with distribution and stuff like that. But I don't think music's ever been more accessible than it is now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's never been so much of it.
Mm-hmm.
So to keep your head above a lot of it is also very difficult, because everybody's got a band now, and you know, everybody's making records on their computer, and, you know, just to make sure that we're still feeling creative and playing music that we want to play, and you know, still keeping the fans interested and putting stuff out there for them and stuff for free, you know.
We've always encouraged our fans to share our music. So, you know, and this goes back, like you said, how technology changes, the time changes. When we first started, we had a, you know, a 4-song cassette was like all we could afford to get done. And,
yeah.
And we made cassette copies ourselves, and we used to throw them out into the crowd and tell them to make copies for their friends. And the same thing when we did our first CD, we're like, burn copies, spread it around. Now it's MP3s, share, you know, downloads. And we just want people to spread the word because really people are like radio. How are you going to discover a new band? You know,
yeah.
your buddy calls you and says, man, I got this great new band. I'm going to send you some tracks. Check it out. They're really cool. And, you know, it's instant now, which is amazing. So you can get instant feedback and,
yeah, what's kind of cool too, I don't know, like, I use Pandora quite a bit.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, I heard you guys, I think, probably through there. It was something where you just kind of came up, you know? It's like, you match that genre and it goes like that. And it's just, I mean, that's pretty cool too. Just, you can discover new bands in a different way.
It really is.
Yeah.
Carter and I have little babies at home, and we share a babysitter, and our babysitter came in the other day and was like, hey, congratulations on your Pandora radio station. I got an email from Pandora about the Carbon Leaf radio station, because that's amazing. I can't believe you have your own station. That's really cool. She was like, you know, kind of separate and, you know, from things, but she's like you. She just, you know, listens to music on the internet and wasn't terribly familiar with Carbon Leaf, and next thing you know, she's dialing in the Pandora Carbon Leaf station.
So, I mean, your sound definitely, even on the same album, will change, you know, different genres and stuff. Do you guys, as individuals, have anything that you particularly love the most? I know some people just like to play a certain style or even listen to a certain style.
Well, I personally just love the variety because Terry and I write pretty much all the music.
Okay.
And it's the great thing we have is the freedom to do whatever we want. And so I've been afforded the freedom to say, okay, I want to write, you know, some acoustic stuff. I want to write, you know, like a bluegrass thing or I want to write a rock song. Whatever we want, you know, we can do. And it's encouraged. So we just kind of, it's fun. It can be a little hard to follow sometimes. And there's certainly people that are fans of one particular thing that we do. And, you know, man, I think we're all grateful for that. And I think now that we're re-independent again, we're going to try to focus in on that and try to do records that will, you know, all the different parts of our fan base, that do a little bit of stuff that everybody will like and keep ourselves entertained as well.
We also have a, you know, everybody has their own style and their own thing that they bring to the table. So, you know, I might come in with a really simple, you know, chord changes on an acoustic guitar or something. And what I love about it is that Carter will say, oh, I've got this, you know, electric idea that'll sound great here, and it'll sound one way, and I'll go, but I don't know if I'm feeling that. I'm going to play the bouzouki. Let's see what that sounds like. And Jason will say, oh, instead of a regular, you know, I'm not hearing a regular rock beat on this. I'm just going to play tambourine and kick drum or something. And, you know, all of a sudden it changes direction and becomes something totally different, you know, and it's cool to have everybody else's input. So it's not just one guy churning out an arrangement saying, you play this, you play this, you know, it's very much a collaborative effort.
So once you're live, have you ever found you've just completely turned a song on its head and just, I mean,
definitely, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse.
I turned one on its head the other day.
2 days ago.
2 days ago. It still hasn't recovered. Still, his head's officially broken. We are playing a college gig in down at Virginia Tech, and we were outside in a little courtyard, almost like this. It started snowing, and then hailing, and then raining, all during our set, you know, and it was like that. It was sunny, and then all of a sudden, it was a little bit distracting, and I forgot the chords to one of our oldest songs that we play a lot, that I wrote, and I just mind just went somewhere else, and I was like, where are we? What are we doing?
Yes. We love to rearrange things.
But anyhow, we like to actually seriously rearrange things and interpret things differently, too.
I wasn't sure if I should touch on it, but you guys are independent now, and I mean, a lot of bands are doing that. Either they're either certain artists or certain members are forming their own production companies, or
it just,
you know,
these days it gives you a lot more flexibility.
Yeah.
If you have a project that you need that kind of firepower for, you can license your record to a label if it's a record that suits that. Otherwise, or you can release stuff on your own. You can move project to project, and you can do it quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're on a label, then you need to wait for your turn to put out a record, as opposed to just being able to kind of fire stuff off whenever you're in the mood or whenever you're done, and pick and choose how do you want to market records. You know?
Yeah,
I mean, we like Vanguard. Our relationship with them was good, but I think that the relationship had run its course. You know,
yeah.
they weren't really doing it for us anymore. I don't think we were really doing it for them anymore. And they said we wanted to, you know, renegotiate our contract and come to new terms. And no, I think we're going to take this opportunity to step out on our own, you know.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, but we'll see you down the road.
So have you guys been recording since?
We have. I mean, we went out and supporting the economy, got some credit cards, and went and bought a bunch of studio gear and retrofitted my garage and did a bunch of sound insulation and construction and built a little studio. So it's not too bad.
Yeah, that's cool.
We put out two independent records since last summer, since we did that, and we have a live DVD CD that's going to be out, I think,
just finished mixing.
So that's, I guess, three projects in less than a year.
So you guys mixing your own stuff, or do you have someone?
Terry was the A engineer at a really big studio in Richmond before he quit to tour full time. So we're fortunate in that, and we've always engineered good bits of our own records too. We'll do the basic tracks with someone, and then just kind of go off into our cave and do everything ourselves.
Yeah.
And over the last several records, we'd started to build up our own studio so we'd be capable of more on our own. And now we finally just kind of finished up the last couple of things we needed. I think when we did the Curious George soundtrack,
we finished
everything out so that we could really be kind of autonomous.
We were in the middle. We did that entire project ourselves, and that was the first, you know, project in a while that we had done stem to stern ourselves. We're real happy with the way it turned out. But there were some upgrades that we wanted to do. It's like, all right, if we do this again, which we should do, we need to step up our game a little bit so that we can, you know, work to picture, have a little better sound isolation, better monitoring, you know, simple things that we're doing.
Yeah.
And it's fun, you know. It's fun to be able to just kick back and work at your own pace.
Mm-hmm.
And Carter and I, the kids are inside playing. We can be outside working, go in, hang out with the kids, run around with the dogs, get inspired, go back out and work a little bit more or whatever. And it's fun.
Yeah, and to own it yourself and just own every aspect of
the product. If you're not feeling it, be able to step away and go just do something else and not worry about, like, well, that's costing us $1,000 a day or $2,000 a day.
Well, and even be able to cut something that maybe you don't like for that, you know, get rid of something that you don't like and construct your album the way you want now.
Yeah.
Well,
we've always been fond of, like, and we would take time on demos, and Barry will come back and be like, oh, man, I want it to sound like the demo. It's like, oh, that sounds really crappy. I recorded that on my voice memos with my phone under the couch. And he's like, that's the sound I want. And then so now we're like, all right, so if we start doing demos that we can actually build on, if we like them, then they're there. That's done. It's like, okay, maybe we recut the vocal and the lead guitar, but yeah, the basic feel is there, or whatever. Or keep some parts. Like, oh, I really like that little weird keyboard thing that you did on the demo. All right, here's that thing. Bloop.
Well, are you guys Carbon Leaf? You guys want to just give your website really quick?
Oh, we're carbonleaf.com. We're twitter.com/carbonleaf. We're facebook.com/carbonleaf. Just Google Carbon Leaf. We're easy to find.
Yeah, they are actually, because I was able to find them. So. All right, well, thanks, you guys.
Thanks for
talking. Thank you.
Couldn't ask for a better day. 2x2 to the ring, to the right. Point of view, each retreat to the corner that's defined by